Women can sometimes feel very lonely in this stage of life.
You've got to be kind to yourself.
What's your little goal? Set yourself a target and then do it.
Accepting yourself is the biggest challenge ever.
Lorraine, if it's okay, we'll just go through a couple of questions. It'd be lovely to get your opinion on them. So the first is from Shilpa, and she says, I'm 51 and very, very menopausal. I've come to terms with the biological changes. I'm on HRT, but I'm really struggling with being part of this group of women constantly referred to as, we talked about this earlier, embarrassing, irritating, unsexy, or just a bit of a joke. That's the thing I'm finding hardest. The thought of being seen that way, how can I deal with that?
Oh, it's interesting, isn't it? Because women can sometimes feel very lonely in this stage of life. And now suddenly we've got a menopausal explanation. So we have a group of women we can belong to. So you would think that would be great. But then this group gets this terrible narrative sometimes around it. But I always say to women, if you put aside what everyone else is doing and saying and thinking, why is that making you feel that way? Why do you not, can you not dig deeper and maybe see the more positive side of it? Because there is another narrative that you can find in great books and in loads of forums and online Facebook groups. We have a private Facebook group attached to the podcast, and it's the most supportive, uplifting, positive place to be. So I always say to women, where you're hearing the negative stuff, shut it down. Don't listen to it. Go to the places where there's the positive stuff, where they're saying what an amazing amount of wisdom women this stage of life have. And it's okay that we can now learn to say no to things, that we might get quite angry about things sometimes, but we can use that anger to get what we need, and we don't need to put up with things. And coming at us on the horizon is this wonderful time when we might have more space, more time to ourselves, and a second life, a second act. You know, this is a bit of a pause. What is the second act? Start planning that. Start looking at the really big positive things that are coming towards you, because they are. And I've interviewed so many women over 60 who say, this is magnificent. You thought 50 was great. This is magnificent. And attach yourself to that narrative, not to the cultural, traditional narrative. You know, attach yourself to belonging there, not to here. You know, J-Lo's 58 or something like that. She looks amazing. If that's your goal, there's a great role model there. If you want to go back and do something fantastic in university and doing that, find your role models, follow those women.
It is so sad, isn't it? Because it's just not true that older women are embarrassing or unsexy or anything. They just, you know, they just can't have babies anymore. But that's literally the only thing.
If you look on television now, the big presenters, the most highest paid presenter at the BBC is Claudia Winkleman, who's in her 50s. Davina McCall has every other job in television. Mm-hmm. So the women in their 50s now are really filling the big roles.
It's amazing.
So, and proving they can do it. So look at those women. Be part of their worlds, or be part of the world, like the woman who runs Mind. She's amazing, Sarah. She's in her 50s. Amazing. She's carved out this fantastic role. She has ADHD. She talks very brilliantly on social media. She's great on the news. Find those women and follow them. Be in their world.
Yeah, I think this generation, it is changing, isn't it? I don't think 10 years ago you would have really found the Claudia Winklemans and the Davina McCalls.
Nicole Kidman's had some of the best roles of her life in the last 3 years.
Yeah, so it's changing and it's great. Yes. I've never been an active person and haven't done anything resembling exercise since I left school. Now my menopause symptoms have been getting worse. I've been wondering if exercise would help. What would you recommend? And can we avoid anything that will make me sweat?
Well, do I think it's important? Absolutely. I think everyone should start thinking about moving more, exercise, for so many positive reasons. I'm a big advocate of strength training, which I think is great for women in terms of that whole round kind of how we hold yourself, trying to eliminate some of the deteriorating factors of muscle loss, etc. And then obviously if you're then starting to move more and get, you know, you will find the effects if you don't keep strong. You know, from someone that's gone zero to trying to go to hero, there's going to be a lot of issues that happen if you don't stay strong as your base. So if you get that right, then actually you can move your fitness levels and performance and the type of things you do a lot further on. So I do think it's important that people start. The sweating is probably down to you, because I mean, you know, if you're going to push yourself in the gym, you're likely to get a bit of a glow. most women don't sweat because they don't push yourself hard enough to sweat anyway.
Right.
And actually, I don't sweat when I train.
Do you not?
No.
So you finish a park run not sweaty?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's a bit strange, isn't it?
Wow.
But I just don't. So I don't know why that is. You know, I have a glow or whatever, but I don't like pouring off of me. So not everybody in fitness sweats, and that puts off a lot of people from doing gym as well. They think, oh, as soon as I exercise, I'm just going to sweat loads. Not everybody does.
I think people just, if they make a decision that they're going to get fit, they often just go too hard, too fast, and either injure themselves or decide that it's too uncomfortable and they don't do it again. Whereas if you build up slowly, just that little bit of patience over a few, doesn't take that long, does it?
No, it doesn't. And actually they say, you know, you can do a really good workout in 20 minutes and be done. You know, but I think it is that starting is the hardest thing for most people that have never had fitness as an ongoing part of their life. And then actually when you do start, you do feel better in yourself. But you've got to set yourself tangible goals. You've got to, you know, kind of, why are you doing it? Why do you need to keep fit? Most people that haven't done anything suddenly go, oh, I've got to be fit. There's a reason why you said that.
Yeah.
You know, you're either out of breath, you don't like the way you look, you're feeling weaker, you're getting issues somewhere. So you've already established that you need to do it. So then you've got to go, well, how far do you want to go? What's your little goal? Set yourself a target and then do it.
Yeah.
Because the quicker you do it, the more fruitful it will be as you get older.
Yeah. And just being accountable, but not setting those goals so high that you're just never going to achieve them.
No. I mean, there's so many great things out there, programs like the Couch to 5K, Those who say, I can never run. Well, if you put one foot in front of the other, you're running in most people's books because you're going faster than not doing anything.
I've seen so many success stories with that Couch to 5K.
Yeah.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think that's even like the absolute minimum that those that have no real idea on what their fitness journey.
Yeah, I can visualise it now. Since hitting midlife, I notice changes in my body. I hold more weight. I've got stretch marks and cellulite. I just don't feel sexy anymore. How can I feel like my 20-year-old self again and get some confidence back?
I mean, you're not going to feel like your 20-year-old self again. You're just not. That's science. And learning to love your body after it's changed so much is really hard. But it just comes back to loving it in a different way. I mean, it's so, so hard. You know, accepting yourself is the biggest challenge ever. And I think, you know, accepting the bits that you maybe wish were different but aren't, you know, just that's sexy to somebody else. You know, a confidence, you know, how you hold yourself, how you feel inside reflects on the outside as well.
I think one of the problems is that we're just bombarded with images of kind of youth and beauty that are unattainable and unrealistic, and it's not how, you know, and also bombarded of images of how you used to look 10 and 15 years ago on your phone. And back in the day, we would never, you know, when we were cavemen, we didn't even know how we looked today because there was no mirrors, let alone how we looked 10 years ago. Mm-mm. And everybody was just out there, you know, dirty from scurrying around in the caves. And it's just so artificial. And there was no kind of premium placed upon beauty because you just, you know, you got married and then you had your 10 children and, you know, that was it. So it's just such an artificial. Our modern day culture is so artificial.
I think that's also, you know, I the internet's the devil in the deep blue sea, right? Social media particularly. And that's why it's so important for me to show up as me and be real and be honest. And, you know, I share my, you know, I had a rough year last year, you know, learning to unpick myself from my marriage financially, learning to stand on my own two feet financially. It's a disaster. I ended up having to give up my house. I'm squatting in my boyfriend's house. You know, I'd have no fixed abode right now. That's not sexy. That doesn't feel terribly sexy. But it's so important for me to show up as myself so other people don't feel like they're alone. You know, so be really careful who you follow online. I mean, I know I've had a bad year because complete strangers hug me in Sainsbury's and go, "Are you all right?" And I'm like, I might have cried a bit too much on the internet last year. But I love that. I've got strangers picking me up, but they see me, you know. And so follow people that make you feel good about yourself. Yeah, it's tricky. You do what you've got to do. I mean, you know, I'm about aging naturally. You know, if you're going to have injectables or, you know, make yourself feel better, do what you need to do. There's no rules, no judgment. Do what you need to do to feel good about yourself. But it's got to start with you. Feel sexy for yourself, you know. I encourage people to take pictures of themselves naked, which just like, you know, it fills women with horror. But, you know, do some sexy poses. Take some nudes, but just for yourself. You know, you don't send them to anyone. Practice a sexy pose, see how it feels. Get some nice underwear for yourself, you know, and just see how it feels. And then, you know, and that's where exercise comes in. I just think it does give you some confidence.
I think you've got to be kind to yourself as to what you allow in your space, haven't you? So I think what you said about be careful who you like follow online and what you look, you are, by looking at these images, you are allowing them into your mind, into your, you know, into your psychological space, and you're actually in control of that. You know, you can unfollow, you can not look, you can unsubscribe, and it is amazing the power of just not allowing that in.
So many people I speak to are like, I'm having a break for a couple of months, it's doing my head in. And I think some of us are finding that admitting that is quite powerful now. It's just really, I'm not in a good space. I can't be looking at that. It's triggering so much in my head. I feel less than, I feel, you know, unworthy. And we all know mostly of social media is everybody's highlight reel. I mean, you know, no matter how many times we say it, you know, and who doesn't like looking at nice stuff and nice things? But if you're not careful, if you're vulnerable and you're feeling lonely and you're low and you're feeling like that, that's just going to compound it. So yeah, be very careful.
Nobody ever came to any harm by coming off social media.
Let strangers in your house who made you feel shit about yourself. So don't do it on your phone. Yeah. You know, they're very powerful little tools. And while I think I credit the internet with this rise of women finding their voices and talking about and having these conversations like we're having today, it's the devil in the deep blue sea. So, you know, be take control for yourself of those things, for sure. And that's the more important, to find your community, you know, and realize you're not alone, and pick up tips from other people.
Surround yourself with people that make you feel good.
Yeah. And, you know, don't think everybody's leaping around in crutchless knickers swinging from a pole having sexy sex all the time. And most of us are just fumbling through life best we can.
Wise words. Thank you.
Also, Shona, in answer to your question, I read an article in The Economist, so, you know, legit, this week, saying the biggest rise in STDs is in the over 55 women's category.
It certainly is.
Sluts for the win. Own it.
So please be careful, everybody.
Yeah, so get
protect
on it.
Protect yourself.
But protect yourself.